Hello, everyone. Good morning, and welcome to Conshohocken Vineyard Church. My name is Rich Andrews. I want to welcome you here today, especially if you're visiting with us. Thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have another special treat, another wise guy joining us for our sermon series called Wise Guys. Is Sloan Dameron, and Sloan is not only a good friend of mine, but she's the administrator for our church, and Sloan and I go way back even to our days in Bolivia, believe it or not. But Sloan has really served our church in a number of different ways. One of the ways is behind the scenes, she really cares for people well and cares for people in relationships. And I've seen her again and again and again just care for people who are dealing with relationship issues or things that are going on. And today I've asked her to speak, and she'll be speaking about a proverb that will really help us and give us wisdom into how to deal with different relationship things that we experience. So I think you're going to enjoy it, and just want to welcome Sloan Dameron.
Thank you, Rich. Thanks. Well, good morning. And I'm grateful to have so many good friends at CVC and in my life, because these days it seems like friendships are trickier than ever. A few weeks ago, Pastor Rich talked to us about how people can sometimes be more bold or aggressive on social media, and I think most of us have experienced that thing on Facebook where somebody that we think we know really well says something shocking on Facebook that is just really surprising to you that you didn't know about their character. In many cases, friendships, those kind of friendships just continue on, and we kind of sidestep the things that we know we disagree on. But true friendships can endure through the difficult conversations. We don't have to sidestep the places that we differ. What we actually do is we leave our egos out of the discussion, and we attack the issue and not each other. The best friendships get even stronger through the rough patches. When I was in graduate school, I worked with a woman named Laura, who's still a dear friend of mine, and she was a follower of Jesus, and I wasn't. And often she would invite me to church and or Christmas events, and I would go and I would enjoy them, but that's really where it stopped for me. And I remember one day we were in the office, and Laura was telling me about a young man in her church who had accepted Christ. And I asked her what that meant exactly. And she explained that he had accepted Christ into his heart, and now he would go to heaven through his salvation. I remember this part really clearly because I got a little indignant, and I said to her, "You mean to tell me that I'm not going to heaven because I didn't say a few little words? I'm a good person." Well, we have been in a sermon series in the book of Proverbs for several weeks called Wise Guys, and I have been enjoying learning about the purpose of this Old Testament book and about the practical wisdom that it provides. Today, I'd like to take a look at a couple of proverbs that really spoke to me about friendship and helped me understand why my interaction that day with Laura was so important. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we invite you into this today. We ask that these words be your words. Make me small and you big. And may we learn from your example and the example of Jesus of how to be a friend and how to be a friend to others and let others be a friend to us. Amen. So, if you have a Bible, feel free to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. In the middle of your Bible, chapter 27, verse 6, we read, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." So, when I read that, I feel like I have the gist of what it means, but often I like to go online to Bible Gateway or Bible Hub and check out other translations just to see what they say and to make sure I have the best understanding of a verse. Let's try another translation. So, this is from the NASB, and it says, "Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy." For me, the fact that they use the word faithful and deceitful, it sort of fills in some gaps and makes it a fuller proverb for me to understand. In this proverb, the author is using a literary device called reverse parallelism. Reverse parallelism, or antithetical parallelism, is a technique used in Hebrew poetry that sets up a contrast between two opposite ideas, often pointing to a single truth. kinds of things like two sides of a coin. One side is wisdom, the other side is folly. One side is good, the other side is bad. The first line in this proverb is saying that a true friend who we assume to have our best interest at heart may have to say hard things to us, sometimes wounds, but we know that they are doing it for our own good. This is the friend who will say yes when you ask a question like, do these pants make my butt look big? And the friend will say, kind of, let's go find you another pair that'll look great. So this idea is contrasted in the way an enemy would treat us, who on the surface, they do things that seem nice, but actually have a bad intent and cannot be trusted. So the enemy would say about those pants, no, they look so great on you, and all the while thinking the pants look terrible. Now, that's a silly way of looking at the proverb, but what is true is that a real friend will come to you with the hard truths, and your enemy will simply say what you want to hear and not care for your well-being. Remember that friend Laura I told you about, I got mad at? Well, after I told her that I was a good person and that should be my ticket into heaven, Laura paused for what it seemed like a really long time, and she just looked at me and she said, no. And she went on to explain what her no meant, but all I heard was the no, so I didn't hear the explanation of why just being a good person wasn't my ticket into heaven. By her telling me the truth, she was being a good friend. And thankfully, 8 or 9 years later, I did invite Jesus into my heart, and my life has changed forever. But Laura and I still laugh about that conversation, and it took courage on Laura's part to say no and say the hard things. Sometimes it takes courage to be a good friend. One of the ideas that this proverb is highlighting is that trust is a key part of genuine friendships. Wouldn't we prefer a friend's wounds to an enemy's kisses? Where in the Bible do we see an enemy's kisses? Judas, who is one of the disciples of Jesus, was just such an enemy. In the book of Mark, chapter 14, we see Judas betray Jesus with a kiss so that the guards would know who Jesus was and they could arrest him. As a friend has our best interest at heart, but the enemy will do things that seem kind and then lead us to ruin. When we hear something that sounds harsh, we need to ask ourselves, is this person a friend or an enemy? Once we stop being offended by what they say, we need to consider some things. If you really think about it, is what they said true? It might be hard to think about it, but we can kind of get that thing in our hearts where we're like, what they're saying is true. I don't like hearing it, but what they've said is true. Always consider the source. The friend who would stick their neck out, even risking us getting upset with them, is one worth keeping. Wounds of a friend can be trusted. Let's look at a second proverb that further illustrates the principle of the importance of having friends in our lives who wound us that can be trusted. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Friends sharpen one another. Being sharpened does not always feel good, and it can feel like a wound. But when iron is sharpening iron, there are often sparks involved. I have a friend who had to have a hard conversation with one of their longtime friends, and he had helped this person through a lot of different trials in their life, and he knew that this thing that he had to say might not be taken well, but he felt to be truly friends with this person, the offense needed to be addressed. So he contacted the guy, and he explained why he was calling, and the guy got really defensive and responded with, it was just a joke. Why is everybody so sensitive these days? Well, my friend explained why it was offensive to him and why it could be offensive to others, and the guy just couldn't accept it. He even lashed out at my friend with nasty words and has not spoken to my friend since. It takes courage to speak up. But it also takes two willing people in a friendship to be the two pieces of iron that are sharpening the other. We have to be able to hear the hard words, and we sometimes need to give the hard word. A few weeks ago, Nick Denton preached, and Nick and I have been friends for a long time, and we actually worked together at a church, and we worked in a really small office. And Nick had mentioned in his sermon that he had gone through a difficult time where there was a lot of upheaval in his life. And at that time, I had to give him a hard word. And I gave him the hard word because I cared about him. And I cared about his future. And I was willing to risk him being upset with me so that I could speak into his life. And it's important to do that. And it feels really scary, but it's an important thing to do. This week, I was trying to think of a time when I had to say a hard thing to one of my best friends, and I called them and asked them if either of them could remember a time, a specific instance that that we had to say something hard to each other, and we couldn't really remember. Now, I have a really clear memory of my friend Melissa talking to me and sort of putting her head to the side and wrinkling up her face like she does. She's like, no, I think you're wrong in this situation. And I remember doing that same kind of a thing to her. But what's interesting is I think the reason that we can't remember the specifics is because there's always an open door for that kind of honesty woven into the fabric of our friendship. So it doesn't stand out as an event. There's no wound to go back to and find the scar that marks that event because we have an open friendship and we can be truthful and honest with each other, even when it's hard. So how do we move forward with friendships to allow for these kind of wounds? We need to accept that in order to be sharpened, parts of me will need to be removed. The principle of iron sharpening iron within our friendships means that we should long to be around intelligent, solid people whose challenge only serves to sharpen our character. Allowing iron to sharpen iron within our friendships means that we don't only surround ourselves with people who think like us. We don't want to live in a vacuum of sameness, and social media makes it really easy with the delete button, the unfollow button, and the unfriend button. So good and true friends walk alongside each other and challenge each other. Wounds from a friend can be trusted. Jesus wants to be this person in our lives, walking beside us, revealing hard truths to us to help us change and grow so we can walk in freedom. We see Jesus do this in his relationship with his friends, the disciples. For example, in Matthew 16, verse 21, we see a time when Jesus rebukes Peter in the garden. And rebuke simply means that you're correcting someone because of their behavior or their actions. Let's look at this scripture. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him to the side and he began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have it in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Could you imagine Jesus calling you Satan, his biggest enemy? That seems really, really harsh for Jesus would refer to Peter, one of his dearest friends, as Satan. What Jesus is doing is reminding Peter of God's will. God's will for Jesus is for him to give his life as a sacrifice for the ultimate good of the world. Peter was just being a good friend and horrified at the thought that Jesus would be tortured and killed. So he just said, "No, no, no, I don't want that to happen." But Jesus was being a better friend by helping Peter focus on the path that was going to ultimately be better for the whole world and not just for Jesus in the moment. This is just like my friend Laura pointing me to the bigger truth of Jesus for my life. Now I want to take a look at another scripture. In the book of John, chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says, "I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I made known to you." Now, Jesus is saying here that he is an open book to his friends, and he has freely given to them all of his knowledge of God, so that they would know God too. And you know what? He's not simply talking to the 12 disciples. He's talking to all of us who are his disciples and have said yes to accepting him into our heart. You can say yes to an eternal friendship with a perfect friend, and that perfect friend is Jesus. He is always for you. He only offers you good things that bring wisdom and peace to your life, even when you are going through hard times. Now, how does it look when Jesus has hard things to tell me? What he does is he convicts my heart about a behavior or something that I need to change. He doesn't tell me I'm awful and horrible. He just says to me in gentle ways, is that really how you want to be? Is that how you want to treat your friends? Is that how you want to talk to your husband? He never shames me or makes me feel bad about myself. He simply helps me accept what I need to change in a gentle way that makes me say yes to his wise counsel. And even better, he walks with me through the hard parts of changing and a way of loving in the way that a loving friend would. Consider this. In a radical departure from conventional wisdom, Jesus, in the ultimate act of loving friendship, was wounded for our sake to the point of death, even on a cross, when we were still his enemies. That's a big thing to try to wrap your brain around. He did this, and we weren't even his friends. We were his enemies. In Romans 5, verse 8, Paul writes, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Today, you can say to Jesus, Jesus, I thank you for being my faithful and trusted friend, even when I have been unfaithful to you. Forgive me and give me your grace to be your faithful and trusted friend and to be a trusted friend to others. In the best scenarios, good friends are not just people to have a good time with. But if we allow it, they are people who can speak into our lives, make us better and stronger than we would have been by ourselves. They cheer us on to victory and sometimes challenge our beliefs too. Iron sharpening iron makes us both stronger and better than we were before. And who wouldn't want to be stronger and better? All right. So this is the hard part. Now, how do we go out into our week this week and we put this scripture into practice? Well, one thing you can try this week is to say to a trusted friend, I really trust your opinion. You know me well. And what do you think is an area of my life that needs to be sharpened? Rich encouraged us to do this in his Father's Day sermon when he encouraged us to ask a father figure the same kind of question in the pursuit of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to have a good friendship with you. I pray that we would be trustworthy kinds of friends, offering words to our friends that will help us grow and not be wounded, and we not wound, and that we would have trustworthy friends in our lives that we would be humble ourselves and listen to. Let's take a moment to ask the Holy Spirit to speak to us about what it is to be a good and faithful friend and to all of those people in our lives.